5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, talking all things Colorado Buffaloes, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, when you wrapped up, you stepped away from that game, Buffs, Texas A&M last week, were you more or less like, hey, that was amazing. We hung in there. This Buffs team hung in there with the top five team in the country. Or were you walking away going, wow, what a missed opportunity?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. Number one, it was a missed opportunity because it was a very winnable ball game. But number two, I'm selling your show. I think the Buffs are a pretty good football team. And I walked away going, number one, that's a excellent defense Colorado was built. Chris Wilson has been outstanding as the defensive coordinator. And then, you know, I thought, okay, boy, if they can get that offense to grow up, in particular that quarterback position to grow up, this team can really make some noise. So, yeah, you're disappointed because it's a missed opportunity. They, you know, when the touchdown was pulled off the board on the fumble by their quarterback, Calzada, I looked at Gary during commercial break. I said, if we get two first downs, we win a ball game. Well, they couldn't get two first downs. They couldn't burn any time off the clock. And so I was a little concerned. You can't expect a defense, no matter how good it is, to continue to shut a high-powered offense down the way they did the entire ball game. So, yeah, I think those are my two thoughts. Missed opportunity, bummed out about that. Man, this team could be really good.
You said it. Defensively, you could have the greatest defense in the country, but no matter what, you get offenses, you give them more opportunities. Offenses have the upper hand anyway. It's just how the game is. So you give them opportunities, they're gonna find a way, and they finally did. But you're right. This defense, Mark, I mean, they could be, when it's all said and done, one of the top defenses in the country, certainly in the Pac-12.
Well, I think so. I mean, I love what Chris Wilson's doing. I love he simplified everything. He makes them aggressive up front. They're young in the best secondary. But, you know, Gary said it during the broadcast the other day. He said Christian Gonzalez is a superstar in the making. I mean, he's the next guy in that list of Chido Bea-Wuzie and Jimmy Smith and Kelly Witherspoon and Isaiah Oliver and all those NFL guys that the Buffs have recently sent to the National Football League. He's in that making. Mekhi Blackman, the other side, is extremely solid and has got a chance. And then they've got some young guys that are coming up behind him. So I really like this team. Now, we the Buffs have got to find a way to get Brendan Lewis to grow, and that's not an easy thing to do. And you know, last week they ran the ball effectively for the second week in a row, so they can do that. However, things kind of dried up in the second half in that regard. And what teams are going to start doing, and you're seeing it, they're saying, okay, we know you're good up front. That offensive, defensive lines, by the way, look like they're outstanding. And we know you can run the football. We're going to do everything we can to force you to throw the football. And that's what is going to continue to happen. I guarantee that's what Minnesota's going to do on Saturday. Well, when they come to town at Folsom Field, is they're going to force that young quarterback to make some plays. And that's where not only he's got to grow up, but from an offensive system standpoint, with Darren Cheverini and the guys in the offense, you know, then they've got to start figuring out ways, whether it's creative to give him an easy pass early on, that he begins to build some confidence, or they look for just creative ways, jet sweeps and tunnel screens and those kind of things, to get guys the ball in space, you know, swing passes out of the backfield to Jerick Broussard or whatever it might be, just ways to get him going, because teams are going to start adjusting and make it very tough for you to run the football.
Yeah, and that's you know, where you're really asking a lot from Brendan Lewis early on. You're saying, hey, we need you to essentially grow up fast, right? You need him to be able to make those throws, and because as good as this rushing attack is and this line could be going forward, like you said, If you're loading up that box and you're daring a quarterback to beat you, at the end of the day, he's going to have to do it.
Yeah, he's got to make some plays at some point in time. And listen, he's a talented kid. I mean, he runs the ball very well. He's got great feet. We've seen that a number of times. He can make throws. You've seen that. Here's the issue for fans that are going, well, holy cow, how hard can it be? Well, what happens is you get out there and everything speeds up. You've done it in practice. Sure, you've done it in practice, but now it's for real. And unlike last year jumping into the Alamo Bowl, you've got teams that are preparing for you now. He came in last year late in that game. That's why I didn't go nuts over that. I know people are like, holy cow, Brendan Lewis was the man. Hold on a second. Just pull back in the reins here a little bit. He came in. Nobody knew anything about him, and he came and made some plays. Okay, now teams begin to say, okay, now we know what this kid is all about, and we start to defend him. And you know, that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. I mean, it's just like anybody who's ever done play-by-play for a game. You know, when I did it, when I first started this way back in, you know, in 19, whatever it was, 89 or 90, whenever I started doing this, those games were moving 10,000 miles an hour. and your head's just spinning because it's happening so fast. And now 2021, you know, I can be half asleep and call a ball game because sometimes I am, to be honest with you, because everything slows down, right? You get used to it. And so that's what you're seeing with Brendan Lewis right now, and that slowing down process they're hoping comes sooner rather than later.
Well, with a great defense, you know, if they can continue to make huge stops, you get that run game going, maybe that will allow them some time to, or allow Brendan Lewis some time to grow. I thought it was interesting on the ranking side, Mark, and this says a lot about the Buffs. The Aggies only moved down two spots after losing to Colorado. So to me, that says, you know, because we thought, okay, well, what if the Buffs win? What if they keep this thing close? Is the national rhetoric going to be, well, what's wrong with Texas A&M? Doesn't seem to be the case, at least if you're looking at the rankings.
No, exactly right. You know, and I think they look at the fact that Colorado played that well. This was not a fluke. It was not because A&M came in or turned the ball over five times. You know, the week before they had four interceptions and one fumble, I believe. So they had five turnovers, right? And so against Kent State. And so, you know, people look at that and go, well, you know, A&M didn't play very well and this and that and on and on and on. And, you know, that's why the game was relatively close. That was not the case here. This was a high-level college football game. There were not a lot of turnovers. There were not a lot of penalties. It was clean. And so I think everyone came away from that ball game and said, boy, Colorado must be a pretty darn good football team, because we all think A&M's a really good football team. And the Buffs stood toe-to-toe with them and bled for, you know, 57 minutes and, you know, whatever it was, 19 seconds or whatever it is before it finally got away from them. And I'll tell you this. Here's another little bit of insight. We talked about Haynes King, their highly regarded quarterback, and he went out, of course, with a lower leg injury, and Calzado came in. And I'll tell you this. Gary Barnett, when we get through the first segment of the second of our pregame, Gary always goes down to the field, and he wants to go talk to the coaches. He wants to eyeball the players. He comes up before kickoff, and I said, what'd you find down there? And he says, holy crap, their backup quarterback can throw the ball. Hmm. And I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, he throws it a lot better than the starter does. And I'm saying, so when King went down in that ball game, I looked at Gary and he says, I'm not sure this is a good thing.
Wow. Right?
So anyway, I think you're right, though. People realize Colorado's a good football team, yeah.
I think that's interesting, too, because you're getting people say, well, the quarterback, well, let's face it there. I mean, he's a young guy, too, so I don't know that Texas A&M fans are necessarily 100% saying, oh, we've got the QB.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Haynes King comes in with all the accolades, but we know what that means, right? I mean, that means absolutely nothing until you do it. And the Calzado kid, you know, was a pretty highly regarded kid as well. And he's only a sophomore, so you got one freshman, one sophomore there. They're young quarterbacks, but I'll tell you this, Calzado can throw it, and we saw it. And Gary, listen, there's one thing Gary really knows, is offensive football. That's what he did his entire career. And when he came up and said that, I said, really? And he goes, oh, man, holy cow, does he spin it. And so we kind of knew before the kid even came in and Haynes King went down that, you know, this guy can throw the football. And so he certainly did. Found some, you know, obviously finding the wide receiver, the running back, rather, Spiller in the corner of the end zone for that game winner. But, I think you come away this feeling okay. I know there was disappointment by CU fans, and there should be. But you come away and say, okay, now we think this team is a good football team. And now let's go and prove it on Saturday when Minnesota comes to town.
Yeah, Minnesota, let's turn the page looking at that football team. They're pretty salty. And I think, was it week one, they gave Ohio State a pretty good football game. So, I mean, this is a solid team coming in on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, but what did they do? I think they exposed Ohio State, and then Oregon went in and cleaned it up, right?
Wow.
And so I think the Ohio State's not exactly what they thought where they were. Now, I'll say this about Minnesota, and Tuesday nights is when I really started jumping in and really started getting a look at them. So last night I finally started getting into them. I'll tell you this, they're enormous up front, and they're old, Brady. And what I mean by that, they've got their entire front five is about 315 or 320 or bigger. They've got a guy that's about 6'8", 6'9", about 380 in the right tackle. They're an enormous team, and they go redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, redshirt senior, senior across the front line. So there's some guys who play some football. And that quarterback has played a lot of football as well. So they like to run it. They're a team that's very similar to the University of Colorado. They want to run it. They've got a solid defense. There's still some questions for them on the defensive side because teams have been able to move the ball against them. So, you know, we'll see what that's all about on Saturday.
Man, watching, going back to defense, Mark, because I could talk about this Buffs defense all day. Nate Landman is just, every time you watch him play, he's as good as advertised. And I can't believe I still do this, but I'm in awe. I mean, some of the plays he was making, he is so quick to the football. I mean, it's fun to watch.
ridiculous. I mean, and what it is, and I've told this story many, many times, his freshman year, Chad Brown, the great Chad Brown, 15 years in the NFL, All-Pro, and on and on and on, he's doing the sidelines for us one game during commercial break. He goes, hey, who's this number 53, right? Kid's a freshman. I said, Nate Lambert, some kid out of California. I said, I think they think he's going to be pretty good. He goes, that guy never makes a wrong decision. He's there every time. And now he's growing into a man's body, of course. And so, yeah, I tell, you know, it's like I used to say with McKinley, right? I say the same thing about Nate Lambert. Enjoy him, Buffs fans, because these kind of guys don't come around all that often. I mean, he's going to leave here as one of the great linebackers, and that's saying something to Colorado. You know the great linebackers they had, two Butkus Award winners. He's in that group. Enjoy him, because a lot of those guys, like I said, don't come around very often.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Wanted to get your take on the USC situation, moving on from Clay Helton after 2 weeks. And here we go with the rumors with Urban Meyer, who the Broncos are going up against Jacksonville this weekend. What's the over-under? What are the chances there that Urban Meyer is the next head coach for USC?
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, here he embarks, you know, jumps back into the coaching world. And just a couple of weeks in, all of a sudden his name's being floated out there. Eric Bieniemy's name's being floated out there. Yep. Now, wouldn't that be fascinating? Since Mike Bone hired Eric Bieniemy along with John Embry at CU, then fired them after two seasons. So you wonder how that could possibly work. And this is, well, it's always been an attractive job, obviously. It's one of the blue bloods in college football. It's a big, big job. They probably should have fired Clay Helton last year. I'm always, you know, and I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback, but these situations when it looks bad and you're thinking this probably is not going to get any better, and then they go, well, let's try one more year. The Buffs did it with Dan Hawkins years ago, and everyone knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. It was just a foregone conclusion they're going to make a change, and this kind of had that feel to it. And so, you know, Mike probably wishes he probably would have made that decision back, you know, after the football season last year. But it's a great job, and you know what? I hope they hire a terrible coach.
Well, I mean, okay, so Urban Meyer comes out and says he's no way, but we've seen this before. Can we trust that? Can we really believe him?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it, and you know, I've met Urban Meyer. I don't know Urban Meyer, and certainly haven't talked to him in a long, long time. And so I don't know what his feel is about the National Football League. You know, Nick Saban went to the NFL and came back. And so there are guys that are great college coaches that get a taste of the NFL and think, maybe this just isn't for me. They do have the number one pick in the draft, right, who maybe didn't look that great last week, but is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. And there is promise there. And so you wonder, does he stick with that and not have, you know, he left college football on a couple of occasions because of the hours and all the stuff you've got to do. In the NFL, you don't have to recruit. You don't have to do that garbage. And you just coach ball, and that's all you do. And so the guys I know and who've gone back and forth, there are some guys that like the recruiting aspect of it. Other guys just despise it, but it's part of it, so that's why they stay in the NFL. And so that's the aspect of Urban Meyer I don't know about. So that'll be interesting to watch. And also the Eric Bieniemy thing is going to be real interesting to watch.
Yeah, Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. Well, what are your thoughts on this Pac-12 so far? You said it, Oregon gets that huge win. They're now a top five team in the country. You've got UCLA looking pretty good, Arizona State, and obviously the Buffaloes. So far, at least the top four or five teams looking pretty good in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone was very surprised by Stanford just, you know, slapping the snot out of USC last week, which brought them then, of course, the firing. But, you know, Oregon is for real. UCLA, I think, is very good. Now, you know, we'll wait and see. That's one impressive win. Let's see what happens coming off the bye week now as they are this weekend. And so we'll wait on that. Colorado is going to continue to prove itself, and you get a win against Minnesota at home this weekend. You're sitting at 2-1. You look very, very good. Arizona State, I'm a little bit of a wait and see with Arizona State, you know, with all the offseason turmoil they've had, and so we'll wait on that. There's a lot of other things going around the Pac-12 that have not been real impressive. It hasn't been a great start to the season, obviously, about the league. And so I'm kind of a wait and see kind of guy with a lot of that kind of stuff. But I think right now, the four teams we just talked about, you look at and say, I think they're all pretty darn good. But potentially great with Oregon.
Well, the Buffs got a big one coming up, and it certainly seems like a tough one coming up against Minnesota on Saturday. Mark, what time do you guys get rolling with everything?
It's breakfast with the Buffaloes there. We got a 9 a.m. pregame, 11 o'clock with the kickoff, so an early one between the Buffs and the Gophers. And I understand it's going to be very close to a sellout. Ralphie be running again, and so a lot of excitement around that one this weekend.
Yeah, Ralphie got a break. I understand it too. Not putting him or putting her in Denver, of course.
Well, I talked with Taylor about it, and they were saying, you know, she ran so well in the first game, and she runs that semicircle, obviously, from one corner to the other. And they didn't want to mess with her in this learning process because at Empower Field a Mile High, they don't let her run the semicircle. She has to run a diagonal across the field. I thought, you know what? We don't want to confuse her. Let's leave it alone. And then next week with Minnesota, we'll do the semicircle. She'll get that down again and continue to train her. And then when she's a little bit older, maybe we can do the diagonal on some neutral field somewhere.
You got to ease her into it, Mark.
Exactly
you gotta,
right.
That's what you got to do. I'm no expert, but that's what I've been told anyway.
Yep.
Mark, appreciate you, man. And we'll be looking out for you this weekend.
All right, Brady, see you.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Great defense. Certainly concerns, though, about Brendan Lewis right now. Are the Buffs a six-win team? I'm starting to think so, but this offense has to, you know, Brendan Lewis has to prove that he can move the ball down the field because Mark said it. Defenses are going to just start loading the box to try to stop this rushing attack. They got Minnesota this week. Mark just said he wants to wait and see about Arizona State. Arizona State, that's going to be tough. So you got two games in a row. It's going to be pretty difficult. Then USC. So we're almost getting into conference play here, folks. And so I know this is a big one for Colorado going forward. I think they are going to win six games. I certainly think this team could be a bowl team now based on what I've seen. 22 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Let's talk a little bit more about quarterbacks in college around the area. Dylan McCaffrey, Todd Senteo, a lot of pressure on him to try to produce. He's had some good games, though. He's had some decent games. It's just this offense as a whole, it's just not clicking. When the pass game's going, they can't get the run game going. When the run game's going, can't get the pass. So we'll talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Special Studios.
Things Rams football. Tune in to Rams Weekly, Thursday nights at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
At Colfax, I know I'm a little slow sometimes, all right? We're talking to Coach McCaffrey earlier in the first hour, and he's like, hey, Lamar, you know, they lost to UTSA, but they looked pretty good in their other game, so it's a tale of two teams, maybe. Am I missing something here? Because I'm on ESPN, and I went to Lamar's website, and they're 0-1. They lost 54-0 to UTSA. Now, was that like a scrimmage or something? You tell me. I just put out a text to somebody. I was like, what am I missing here? Seriously. I just missed the days where you could go to the four-letter network and they'd have it right there for you. But then again, can you really trust them with the schedule? Because they are allowing, like, fake teams to play. Most bizarre story in the history of the world. What's that team called again? Why am I blanking out on the name?
It's either Bishop Sycamore or Sycamore Bishop.
Sycamore Tree. That's why. I can't remember that. It's got to be the strangest sports story. That's definitely stranger than the Manti Te'o thing. To me, anyway. This is weird. Because it's so many people involved. How do you keep this up? Did you ever see... Look this up, Colbs. I think you'll appreciate it. It's a movie called Camp Nowhere. It has... come on. Who's the guy that plays the scientist in Back to the Future? Why can't I think of his name?
Lloyd?
Yes.
Christopher Lloyd.
He's in it. It's an underrated movie. I don't know that there's like anybody of note other than Christopher Lloyd that's in it. But they make up a fake camp because they're also all these kids are supposed to go to different camps, like fat camp, math camp, military camp, whatever. So they all get together and they say, let's just say we're going to a camp and then let's just make one up. Nobody's seen that movie, I don't think, but me. But I'm thinking this is definitely the Sycamore thing. Hey, guys, we don't want to do school. Although the kids didn't really, or the adults, didn't really have anything to do with it. They were being told, hey, this is your opportunity. Well, they had something to do with it. This is your opportunity. Just don't tell anybody. think that one kid's story, he's like, yeah, I had to tell my mom. She's like, when are you guys going to start your curriculum in school and stuff? He's like, next week. It was like October. They finally took him to a library. Here, guys, learn. Now you're getting it. What a weird, weird story. 29 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk to Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network coming up next. Let's take a look at the Mountain West, this conference, get his thoughts so far. Air Force, of course, looking pretty good. CSU, get Jesse's thoughts on that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Jesse Kurtz, of the lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
Yeah, likewise. I appreciate you having me on again.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to seeing what the Mountain West Conference does this weekend. Take us back, though. Obviously, a very important weekend, not just in football, but because of the 20 years already of 9/11. And I know that was really felt when you were calling that game Air Force and Navy. I mean, my goodness. What was that like?
It was very cool. I mean, the fact that there's such a national interest in the show or in the game, with multiple national shows broadcasting from there. Rick Neuheisel and the CBS Sports crew were there to do pre and post game shows. Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on the call, and then all the pomp and circumstance that surrounded that game, and then to have both teams run out with American flags. I mean, it really did tug at every single emotion that you have in your body. From happiness to sadness to excitement, but to be there at a service academy with many who have served, are serving, or going to serve this great country, it was certainly a day that I will never forget in this broadcast business.
Yeah, I got a chance to listen to you too, and obviously an amazing job as always. Air Force gets the win, 23-3. Air Force looking tough. We figured they would be.
Yeah, and we talked about it in the last couple of weeks that this team will go as far as its defense is going to take them, and the defense has been absolutely stellar here through a couple of weeks. Navy has 68 total yards. This is a Navy team that went for 330 plus on the ground in the week prior when they got slammed by Marshall, but they were able to move the football at least. They struggled in the red zone. If Air Force doesn't have a botched punt in the second quarter that gave Navy short field that led to the field goal, I'm not sure that Navy ever crosses the 50-yard line. Mm-hmm. Now, Navy is struggling offensively. That's very, very evident. And they're briefly, they've let go of their longtime offensive coordinator, have since brought him back as a quarterback's coach. But that speaks to the struggles they've had. But when you got a team that is struggling, you've got to be able to hold them down, and the Air Force defense was outstanding and just continuing what they did a year ago, where they shut out New Mexico, gave up only 7 points to Utah State, gave up a couple of scores at Army, and then Lafayette gets some garbage touchdowns, and you keep Navy out of the end zone. Air Force's defense is elite, and it'll carry this team throughout this season.
Well, now they'll look to take on Utah State. And, Jesse, it was interesting. North Dakota jumps out early, I think up 21 to 7, I think, in the first quarter. And you're thinking,
yeah.
Uh-oh. And we didn't know. Obviously didn't have a whole lot of expectations for Utah State. Certainly, I think fans were pressing the panic button. And then they come back and they win 48-24. So what do you make of this team so far?
Surprise team in the league so far. And it's a small sample size. But this was supposed to be coming off of a year where there's all kinds of turmoil in Logan, related to the football program on and off the field. It leads to Gary Anderson leaving. They don't know who they're going to have. And then they go ahead and bring in Blake Anderson, who's ready to take on a new challenge, leaving Arkansas State, where he built a winner down there. And he brings in a whole new look offense. They're going to run at a frenetic pace. They're going to throw the ball over the yard. You say, man, do you really have the horses to run that style of offense? And Blake and I talked about that, and he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit about that in the summer
But he said he thought he had enough to run the offense somewhat the way that he wants to. Well, I'll tell you what, if this isn't how he wants to run it and the production that he hopes to have, we're all in trouble in the Mountain West, because Logan Bonner, who came in from Arkansas State, has been sensational. Devin Tompkins is first in the Mountain West, fifth in the nation in receiving yards per game, 133 yards. He is fast as lightning out on the outside. So they get a big test, obviously, coming to Air Force, taking on this defense. But a win on the road at a Pac-12 environment against Wazoo, you come home with all the emotions of a home opener. You fall down to North Dakota only to rally and then blow them away with big play after big play. I'll tell you what, Blake Anderson is firing the horn out there that and sounding the alarms that this is a program that is back on the rise, and if it's not this year, will be soon a Mountain West championship game contender here in the near future.
Looking at those, you know, this matchup will be interesting, but it also just makes me really concerned about Colorado State, because you're thinking, oh, maybe Utah State's one of those games the Rams could get, but then you see the performance. They were close with Vanderbilt, but they were favorites, of course. Rams fans are, Jesse, they're freaking out this week, man.
Yeah, and you know what? I get it. And you know, you look at the schedule and you say, you could make an argument, and it's a week-to-week business, right, and you never really know who you're going to get and how well they'll play that week, but you could make an argument that the most winnable games, at least in the first eight, are behind you, right? The South Dakota State is a whale of a program, but that's one at the start of the year you say probably winnable. Vanderbilt, you say probably winnable. Going to the Glass Bowl in Toledo is no easy task, and you know Toledo coming off of what they did against Notre Dame, especially then what Notre Dame did against Florida State. And, you know, you think, geez, Toledo's going to be tough to beat at home. And then you got Iowa, who took it to Iowa State in Ames, and then the defending champions in San Jose State. And then you have to go to New Mexico, where Danny Gonzalez has that program on the rise, and then that Utah State team that you talked about, Boise State at Wyoming, elite defense and Air Force at Hawaii, not an easy trip to go on the islands and win, and then you take on one of the favorites in the league in Nevada. It doesn't get any easier. And, you know, Steve Adazio certainly has an uphill climb, and he talked about toughness, and you're going to have to kind of settle in and fight back. It's going to take a heck of a fight. There's no question about it, because the schedule is absolutely brutal from here on out.
Yeah, no question. You mentioned New Mexico. They have a pretty interesting test coming up this weekend when they go when they take on Texas A&M.
Yeah, I love Danny Gonzalez. Mm. He bleeds, you know, cherry. He loves this program, having played there, having coached there, and now leading this program and growing up in Albuquerque. This means something to him. So to see him having, you know, the success, they're off to a 2-0 start. They beat an in-state rival that means a lot in that Albuquerque community. Terry Wilson has been outstanding. He's 380 yards, three touchdowns. So if you're going to go in and play with a SEC opponent, you probably better have an SEC-caliber quarterback to use, and they have that. Now, does that mean that they're going to go down there and win? I don't think a betting man would say that's the case. But you've got a guy that has played in that environment, that has played in front of that level of fans, has had success. He's one of the, you know, the great quarterbacks at Kentucky, the only guy in that program history to throw for 3,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards, took him to a bowl game, beat Penn State. So you've got an SEC quarterback that's had success. You're going into SEC country. What better way to test yourselves than having some guys that have done it?
Yeah, no question. Jesse Kurtz joining us, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network. What else sticks out to you? I know Boise State, Oklahoma State. There should be some fun matchups this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean this is a chance for the league to make some sort of a statement this week, and that doesn't mean you're going to go and win all the games. But you look at the games that are on the schedule, and there are some sneaky good games. You know, I mean, one of those sneaky games that I really like that maybe is a little bit off the radar is Wyoming and Ball State. Ball State was a heck of a program last year. But if you're looking at those high-level games, Nevada going to Manhattan to take on Kansas State, I think that's winnable, especially with the guys that that Jay Norvell has and Carson Strong and company. You got San Diego State taking on another Pac-12 opponent. San Diego State has owned the Pac-12 in the last, say, 5 years. The only loss coming at Colorado last year, and what was a weird year anyways, but they come off a week in which they just absolutely hammer Arizona. So now you get Utah, obviously a much better program, but you're at home, so that's a chance to make some sort of a statement. Boise State taking on Oklahoma State in Boise. Of course, the Broncos play well at home. Are they going to beat Oklahoma State, who's a heck of a program? I wouldn't put it past them. I think Boise State is getting their traction. And then the one that I think really could be fun is Fresno State going to UCLA. Mm-hmm. UCLA is off to a heck of a start. So is Fresno State. And, you know, when you saw Oregon go beat Ohio State, and then you think, geez, Fresno State had Oregon on the ropes in Eugene, this could be a really nice place to get a statement win for Kalen DeBoer and company, a place that they won at the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago in 2017 or 18. They went to the Rose Bowl and beat UCLA. So there are some of those games where you say, man, if the Mountain West could win 50, 55, 60% of those, it'd be a great weekend.
Yeah, you said it, a very important weekend and a heck of an opportunity for this conference to make some noise in a, you know, in a college football year where there's so many uncertainties. We're not sure what these conferences are going to look like and such, but just seeing that, hey, Mountain West, you have these opportunities here to really build some momentum within the conference.
Yeah, I like the depth of this league this year. You know, is there a team at the top that is good as a Cincinnati? Maybe, maybe not, if I'm being honest. But I'll tell you, top to bottom, if you're taking right now, the top 10 teams, an Air Force, a Boise State, a Fresno State, a Nevada, a San Diego State, a San Jose State, you know, Utah State, Wyoming, I mean, every one of those teams has got off to a very good start, has the players to compete for a championship, it looks like. So, I mean, top to bottom, I really like where this league is. Now the challenge is, can you get two or three up into that upper echelon, a top 20 sort of ranking? And maybe by the end of the year, a Fresno State with only a loss at Eugene could get into that. A Nevada with, you know, that sort of firepower could get into that conversation. So I think the road is set. Now you got to go out there and take care of business, and that's the hard part, right? But that's why we love Saturday.
Yeah, heck of an opportunity awaits the conference. Jesse, we'll look forward to it, man, and we'll recap it all next week with you.
Look forward to it, Brady. Appreciate the invitation.
All right, man. Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and he's right. There's a lot of opportunities. CSU with that opportunity to turn their season around. They're your favorite to lose this one. 14 and a half. New Mexico's there you go with that. Texas A&M's got a 30-point spread on them there. Nevada going to Manhattan to take on K-State. They are, I mean, listen, they're the favorite in this one. Wyoming's undefeated. They've had an interesting schedule thus far, but they're still 2-0. Crazy schedule coming up for the Mountain West Conference Network. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's wrap up the show. And, hey, we haven't talked a lot about the Rockies, but the Rockies just quietly covered the over, didn't they? I mean, it was like 63.5 or 64. I guess 67 wins. A lot of our listeners said, oh, under 66 for sure. But they just quietly, they're not terrible. They're not great. They've just been a middle-of-the-road team this year. And, I mean, I think that's a really shocking thing. And maybe we should be talking about it a little bit more. 48 minutes after the hour, take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, if you go to their website, you go to Lamar's website, they beat North American. I don't know where that NAIA team probably. They won 47-3. It's weird to me that you wouldn't have the game on, like, it doesn't register. If you go to ESPN to look up Lamar's schedule, they are They're 0-1. If you Google Lamar football team, it says the team that they played, Colfax, right here. If you just Google Lamar Cardinals football. I just Googled Lamar football. They it shows Lamar 47. The team they beat, 47-3, TBD. To be determined was the team that they beat. Oh, man, it's crazy. I was a little confused. I should have went to their website. I get it. All right, mistakes were made. But I think, maybe, I think we're going to live. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Mosher Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life sponsors this program. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's Mosher Funeral and Cremation Services, 970-330-6824. All right, we'll get to it on a Thursday. It's going to be a busy, busy day for us. We're going to talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we're going to talk to, I believe we're going to get Brian Howell on with Buff Zone. It's going to be a very busy, busy day. And cool for me, Colfax, we're going to get new Nuggets assistant coach on Popeye Jones to talk to us. I loved Popeye. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they made the announcement. I used to collect basketball cards, and for some reason I would always look at the back of the cards and see when they were born to see if anybody had my birthday. It was important to me. Popeye Jones had my birthday, so I started collecting Popeye Jones cards, and I started becoming a fan of Popeye Jones. I tweeted it out and I said, hey, ever since I got that card and found out we share birthdays, I'm his number one fan. So we're going to get Coach on. I know he'll have a lot to talk about too with the Nuggets doing this thing with Aaron Gordon. That'll be a poll question tomorrow, so look out for it. When will Michael Porter Jr.'s news drop? You got to think that that's going to drop soon, right? They're going to get a contract deal done. We'll get into more Nuggets discussion. I know we've been knee deep in football, but we always got to make some time for hoops. That's going to do it for us. It's a big Wednesday here. We got Pick Central coming up next, followed by the afternoon guy, the good afternoon guy with Brian Gary. I love that show. I love what he's doing in the afternoons. And then the block party starts up. Nerding Out, Brew Talk, Nick's Snacks, Fat Guys at the Movies. All that, man. Just keep it right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.